There's really only three ways to make money. There's basically three ways to get rich or to acquire wealth. Basically three ways we can break these down. One, just be born in it. You know, you hit the DNA lottery. When Sam Walton died, four or five children became the, you know, all of them were in the top 10 richest people in America. They didn't build Walmart. They won the lottery. They were born into wealth. Queen of England, literally born into wealth. And it's a lot of people, man. Think about it. There's 4,000 billionaires out there. They all have kids and grandkids. As crazy as that sounds. And then, you know, how many people out there that have, you know, 100 million? And how many people out there have 20 million? And how many people out there have 10 million? And, you know, in every town, there's guys that have 10, 20 million. They own the car dealerships. They own the go-to restaurants. Well, those people all have children and grandkids. And I would imagine their wealth only extends as far as grandkids, maybe great-grandkids if they're really old. But, and so one way is we can be born into it, and there's not much we can do to affect that, right? Other than produce lucky kids, you could get rich and produce a lot of kids, and they would be blessed, maybe, hopefully. The other one is just get lucky. I mean, there's a lot of people that, I mean, let's just be honest, they just get lucky. They just standing in the spot at the right time. I was reading the other day about a guy that found barrels, like construction barrels or kind of like oil, barrels of oil, but they were plastic barrels. Maybe kind you'd buy at a hardware store or Home Depot or something. And they were filled with money. And the guy found, it was like $6 million. You know, he turned it in. I'm not going to lie. If I'm out jogging and I stumble on, and this is what happened, he stumbled on $6 million. It was cartel money, they're thinking, that was hidden. For whatever reason, you know, shit may have been Escobar's money. They've been looking for all of his money. But let's... I'm going to be honest, I'm out for a jog and I find some barrels and I open them and it's full of money. I'm not turning them in. I'm actually going to begin the process of researching how do you clean money. Because if the Lord saw fit to let me stumble up on $6 million, I'm going to assume that's a message from above that I'm supposed to have $6 million and I'm going to keep that money. So, but no, he was a good citizen. He turned it in and now the police have it. So they get to keep it. So, it's crazy. So you could get lucky. You could win the lottery. You know, there's TV shows for that. Have you ever seen that? There's now TV shows. So, you know, every day, all over this country and all over the world, people win lotteries. Every day, I watch my father-in-law win $80-something thousand dollars on a Wheel of Fortune machine in Las Vegas. I mean, he hit it and then I came, you know, he called me and we came over there, of course. We thought he was kidding and he actually won. He was playing the high dollar machine where each pull was $20 and he was running three lines. So $60 a pull. And I don't know how much money he was playing. That seems absurd, I know. And he won $80,000. A friend of mine, when I worked at the prison, he won like $25,000 on a scratch-off. Doesn't make you wealthy, but when you're the lowest level prison guard and you do a scratch-off and get $25,000, man, you feel a little bit better about life. You're obviously not wealthy, but for that day, you're feeling pretty damn wealthy. Much like the lottery people, within a year, all that money was gone. Within a year. He bought a car, him and his wife went on a trip, they did some things, they had fun, is gone. Looking back now, because that was, what, 15 years ago, and if you do the numbers on it, it would probably be a couple $100,000. I got a good feeling if we went and talked to him, he doesn't have a couple $100,000. He still works at the prison. And that's the difference in decisions, right? Because then he went from a man who got lucky. A lot of people get lucky. I've gotten lucky. And he took his luck and he maximized it by learning how to multiply money. And he, you know, he could have took that $25,000 and he already had a car and went and bought a house. And instead of him moving in it, he could have, you know, fixed it up real nice, painted it up real nice, put a nice amount on it, rented the house out. And now he's got, you know, 25 grand into this house that's appreciating in value at about 5%, but he's leveraged 5 to 1. You know, we talked about that on other podcasts. The power of real estate is when you put the money into the down payment, that down payment begins to grow, but the down payment is leveraged 4 to 5 to 1. You know, 3 to 1, 4 to 1, 5 to 1. I try to do 5 to 1. I want to put 20% down. But the value of the home is appreciating on the totality of the property, the value of the property, so the entire house. So $100,000 house, I put $20,000 down, it's going up at $100,000, right? And so that's a decision that he could have made from when he got lucky and built some substantial wealth. That's not what most people do, according, I mean, I don't know this to be true, but from stuff I've seen and I was looking at Google earlier today about lottery winners, and it was high, dude. It was like 70-something percent of them within 5 years don't have the money they won. Why? Well, they weren't going to have money to begin with. You know, these were not people who were interested in building wealth. These were, now they'll tell you every excuse under the sun, but if they were to look honest at themselves, when given a chance, they didn't make wise decisions. Doesn't make them bad people. But it does make them what it is. Now, as people begin to make excuses for themselves and not own up to what they've done, then I think now we're borderline bad people because you're just lying. But, you know, the guy that says, hey, I just made bad decisions. I got, you know, total respect. At least that guy is honest with himself and the world and not a victim, you know. And so if you get lucky, what are you going to do with it? This is why it's important to study wealth building when you don't have money. So that when you get money, you know what to do with it. Man, I have countless friends and family, people that I've known who had a score, something work, they got a great job for like 3 years, they sold something big, they inherited something. So many ways to get lucky, and they do nothing with it. Why? Because they weren't gonna do anything with the nothing. Like, they're just not making wise decisions. People make wise decisions, seek out advice before they need advice. This is why big companies keep lawyers on retainer. They know they're going to need the lawyer. They constantly need legal advice. They're not living their life in reaction mode. Most people are living their life in reaction mode. They take on a bunch of debt, get a car, get a house, student loan. I mean, they're financing their cell phones. Most people's brain doesn't comprehend the fact that if you go to AT&T, if you go to Verizon, and you get your phone through them, meaning you don't go to the Apple store and just pay cash for the phone, you're paying finance charges on your phone. Like, you're just getting financed everywhere. On the phone, on the car, on the house, on the credit cards, everything has a finance charge attached to it. And so instead of all these little drips that are coming into you, that's what you want. You don't want $8 drips going out. You want $8 drips coming in. But you have to begin to make these decisions, right? And so one way we can get wealth is we can just simply be born into it. A lot of people are. Most people aren't. Most people inherit nothing. I recently read that. I forget what the stat was. It was pretty damn high. Was not that many people, less than 30% of people are actually inheriting anything. Most people are not. Because your parents were too stupid to have accumulated anything either. Now, yeah, I'm sure they were good people. They weren't wealth builders, let's put it that way. Or You can rattle off all the reasons and all the excuses and everything that worked against them, which this is what people do instead of just owning up to the fact that, hey. Now, the reason I insist that people own up to, because I think that's how you immediately fix it. That's like what I did to myself. I had to tell, you know, I had to become, get real with myself and realize that the reason I wasn't doing very well is I just didn't work much. Like, I just wasn't, I didn't work harder than I should. You know, I read The Science of Getting of Think and Grow Rich. He talks about doing, was it the 3% rule or the 1% rule? And it's basically you're just doing a little bit more than everyone else, you know. And as I began to do that, I began to find, you know, I got raises and I had more money and I had less time to go spend it because I was working instead of, you know, my time began to produce income instead of being a waste. And you know, if you're off 2 and 3 days a week, gee, don't be surprised that you're broke. You know, life isn't about that. You know, for some people though, they think life is truly about not doing anything, like not working. That's the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to sit in, I don't know, I guess sit in your house and stare at your family. You know, for me, I've always felt like I've found purpose in life in working. And people who don't, it's just because of what you do, you don't find purpose in. And that's unfortunate. It's most unfortunate because I think the greatest joys in life come from doing productive activity that produces results in the form. And you know, because people pay you. Doesn't necessarily mean that what you do pays, doesn't have to pay the most or have to pay a lot. But there's people on this planet who, based on what you do, will give you money. You know, willingly, like they want to give you money. Let's say you paint houses and sure, the economy will go up and down, but you have a skill set. You're a good painter. You know what half the skill set of being a good painter is? And this skill set, most of them don't have. Like, I hire a lot of contractors. I own a lot of real estate. I'm going to tell you the missing ingredient, the reason that I do a lot of my own labor is the contractors can't keep their word. It's not that they can't do the work. I know guys that do beautiful work, like killer work, but they won't come to work. They can't do it consistently. They mess up at some point. Like I've gone through an endless number of contractors and listen, this isn't, I'm being forgiving to people. Like I'm going out of my way to like overlook things just because I need a contractor. Like they literally push themselves to where they push it to where I finally just can't out of just general what do you call it? Not good measure, but just my own sense of morality. I can just not give them money anymore because they don't show up on time or they're late or they do half a job. Like it's just, and think about that. All that is being disciplined. Like all you have to do to keep your word, think about that. Think about if, like, if half the job is just keeping your word and doing what you said you were gonna do. I'm telling you, when I say this, I'm not exaggerating. Almost every single contractor I've dealt with cannot do those two things right there. And so if you wanted to do well at that job, if you simply kept your word, did what you told people you were gonna do, you were on time and you didn't steal and you didn't lie, I think people would overlook that maybe you don't do the best job. Like they'd be like, yeah, he's not the best, but man, anytime I call him, he comes. Every time I pay him, he does what he's supposed to do. Like I would overlook not that great a work. And so some people inherit it. They're born with money, and some people just get lucky. And the third one, that's funny. I think that's probably the secret power to being good at most jobs is just being a person of integrity, doing what you said you're going to do, and then doing more than you said you're going to do, coming in early and staying late. Like that is literally the secret to life and taking full responsibility for everything. I teach this idea in my network marketing company. I have this thing I call the 10 pillars of success. And pillar number one is how you think is everything. And pillar number 10, to wrap it up, is take full responsibility for everything in your life. So if I get in a car wreck, and someone hit me, it's my fault. And what I found is I began to think like this. Like I began to convince myself that I'm actually in charge of everything that happens to me all around me. Even the things I'm not. Like it doesn't hurt you to tell yourself this. It's like thinking positive when you're, you know, trying to think happy thoughts when you're not in a good mood. There's no harm in doing that. It's actually a good idea. Like if you should literally be brainwashing yourself. I do. You know? Absolutely I do. I tell people things I want them to think about me. Like when I was first launched my business, I said voted the number one recruiting system in America. It was voted by me. Nobody else. Who else would have picked it? No one's going to vote for you but you. See, some of us will be born into wealth, given. You're going to be just born into it. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll be wealthy. Your dad could be a dick and not leave you anything or be like Warren Buffett. He's not leaving his kids. He's leaving his kids chump change. They're not getting all that money. I mean, they're literally getting chump change compared to what he has. So you could be born into it. You could get lucky. I have no doubt if you thought back on your life now, all the times you got lucky with money and then just pissed it away, it's a lot. And the third is commerce. Commerce. Business. Either working for a business or owning a business. And truth is, if you work for a business, you'll have the perception of a safer income. It's not true, but it's people perceive it as is. People perceive that, you know, if you work for the government, it's somehow safer. It's complete bullshit, but there's people who think this. I don't know how you could think that when your income is tapped, but people think this. And then there's, you know, owning a business or being an entrepreneur. You know, and there's all sorts of degrees in that. There's, you might work for a business, but you make your living based on commissions, or you might actually be a really high paid person who works in a higher, you know, at a company. And so you're kind of entrepreneurial because you're the manager and whatnot, and you actually make a lot of money. And so there's lots of different variances in this, but it's basically in business, meaning commerce, goods and services being traded. You either work for them, own them, or in somehow involved in that process. And so that's our three ways we can make money. And that's about it, man. And so you just got to ask yourself, you know, am I lucky? Most people are not. Was I born into it? No, I wasn't. Okay, so I need to be involved in the exchange of money, right? Commerce, that's the exchange of money. So I need to be doing something where people are handing me money or I'm handing them money. But a lot of people are just handing out money. They're not collecting money. So you want to get yourself into doing that. Last couple shows I've talked about, I've been just super paying attention to the people's phrasing and how they're wording things. And it's amazing to me how people make excuses for themselves. And again, the excuses maybe they're completely legit. But there's no power in assigning power to someone else. In other words, you could say, yeah, something bad happened to me. Or you could just assume responsibility for the bad thing that happened to you and then do your very best to get out. Or you can just waddle in it and say, oh, why did this happen to me? Poor me, right? I think if you just take full responsibility, and then now you're in charge. Like you own this problem and you can begin to work your way out of it, right? And what I've found in life is people who assume the most responsibility make the most money, become the most well-known, become the most loved, the most famous. Jesus had great responsibility, right? Carried the sins of the world. I think that's a little more responsibility than you've had. And yet look at the things you complain about at work. I mean, compare it to what he had to do at work. I mean, you know, you wouldn't, if you got the chance to meet him, would you like, oh yeah, you think you had it bad? Look what I had to do. Would you do that? No, of course not. It'd be stupid, right? But we do that. We do that. This lady, I got a call today, and she's looking at the opportunity and says, I mean, sharp sounding, sounded sharp as me, you know, me and you, like we're just talking, we're just having an adult conversation. I'm thinking she's, I don't know, 40, 50 years old. Adult, I'm assuming. And during the conversation, she says, well, you know, I'm a senior citizen. And I asked her, well, what does that mean? And she goes, well, you know, I'm older. Everyone's at a different place in life and, you know, being able to understand things. And I was like, you're literally the age of the president of the United States. Like, he has the codes to the nuclear bombs. Are people at your age not capable of understanding things? Colonel Sanders was on Social Security when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, Famous Amos, you can go on and on with elderly entrepreneurs. Now, I'm not saying everyone needs to be an entrepreneur, but it also doesn't need to be a crutch, right? You know, they give you the discount for dinner out of respect. Let's don't take the discount out of need. Well, I'm old now, so I should be poor. Well, I don't know, you might get lucky. Sure, there's a lot of old people get lucky. Someone could still die and leave you something. What precludes a 70-year-old from getting involved in commerce? Nothing. Like, you have all the time in the day to sit around and study it, to formulate a plan, to bring years of age and wisdom. I mean, you know, just because you haven't, you probably have made great decisions, but let's pretend like you've made bad decisions. Let's say you're 70 and you've just made a lifetime of just bad decisions. You can get caught up in about 30 days, know what all the right decisions are. And then what if you live to be 94? You're going to spend the next 20 years making bad decisions just because you did the previous ones? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So if a guy's 54 years old, he's done a lot of dumb. Now he can fix it, right? Now he can fix it. Because what's going to happen if you live to be 90 and you're 54 and you're stupid right now, making dumb decisions, doing things you know you shouldn't be doing? Like, you know you're going to be 70, right? Like, you're 50. You know you're going to be 70. And what'll happen, you know? You need to be preparing for that now. And if you're not, then don't cry to me about it. Because right now, while you're able-bodied, you need to... This is when you do it, right? Because if you're doing work you love in commerce, people are going to pay you. Donald Trump gets up every day. I got a feeling he works a hell of a lot more than most people I know. I'm just thinking out loud, and he's 70 years old. So tell me again how the 62-year-old can't seem to do it. I mean, I don't know, man. It's a different day and age, man. It's a cop out most people are using. It's a cop out. Plenty of, especially with today's technology, plenty of things people could be doing to generate income, to build wealth. This idea that because you're old, Jesus, Warren Buffett is what? What is he, like 89? His partner's 92 years old. Does conferences. I got people trying to figure out a conference call. 20 years younger than him. This guy's running a multi-billion dollar investment fund. Doing YouTube interviews. Go on YouTube and type in Charlie Munger. He's in his 90s. And then explain to me how people in their 70s can't be involved in building wealth. Like, I'm going to be doing it until they won't let me do it. I'm going to keep compounding, keep growing, keep buying real estate, keep promoting my programs. My goal is to be 80 years old, hosting a conference call and recording something new and sending out some new postcard that I created, some new booklet. How dare someone tell me I can't produce wealth, make money, generate income, start a business just because I'm 70. You're out of your mind. I have a very sneaky feeling that from the age of 70 to 80, I'll make more money than I've ever made in my life. Why? Because of all the years spent studying wealth, marketing, sales, promotions, being wise with my money, taxes, starting and running a business, all these things, just years and years and years and years of studying, trial and error, messing up, doing well, having a winner, boom, that bombs, write a new ad, create an ad, write a book. I've written five books. One of them made money. You know? That's not to toot my horn. That's just to show what a guy who's born in a trailer park, grows up in Arkansas, poor, I got to go to the military just so I can get a job. I'm not college material. I get out at 26, try college, realize this is complete bullshit. Not for me. I quit. I start making money. I get a job as a prison guard. And I realize that doesn't pay a lot. And I said, well, what if I can get this part-time? Because I knew part-time could cover my rent. And then I knew I could hustle on the side, and I had a truck and I had a lawnmower. Next thing you know, I've got like 30 houses. I'm knocking on doors. I'm leaving flyers. I'm doing this every day. That is my job. Getting customers is my job. Like, people will come in with me in our business, and our job is to recruit people to do it. And they're like, well, what do I do? You do what you do. Bring people in. Like, why would anyone need to tell someone this? This is how you make money. So if you're a car salesman, you speak and talk with people, right? Like, no one should have to tell you you need to talk with people. No one should have to tell you, well, you need to come in before other car salesmen and you need to leave after them. And you should do it 8 days a week until you are above board, until you have some actual money, enough money where you have the right to even have a seat. Like, why are you even sitting down? This is like my mentality. We don't own recliners in my house. I've never had a recliner. Every person I've ever met has a recliner. Everyone. My richest friend, there's no recliners. He doesn't sit down. I thought I was the only person that didn't do recliners. Now, my wife has these real fancy French-looking, I don't know, antique-looking chairs that I don't sit in because I don't want to get yelled at because often I'm dirty. But I have no time for reclining. I haven't sat in my living room in years, 4 or 5 years. I go from my office to my kitchen to bed, and other than that, I'm working. I don't watch television lounging. I go to bed, watch a little TV, and go to sleep. Why? Because I got to get up and work. Not because I have to. I make more in passive income than I need to pay bills. I don't need to work at all. That's why I like working. It's not a job. I'm just doing me. There is no one to tell me to do anything. There's no one to tell me to do anything. And if anyone needs to tell you to do anything, as a grown human being, you're involved in business, you're involved in commerce, you're 22 years old and you enrolled in college and someone needs to call you to check up on whether you went to class or not? I mean, come on, right? And so to become a person of abundance, of wealth, of prosperity, to become a preacher of capitalism, I need what? How I think is everything. And pillar number 10, take full responsibility for everything that ever comes into my life, ever. And man, that gives you personal power. That gives you true personal power. So there's three ways you can get wealthy. You can simply be born into it. Or my favorite, be honest, man, I'd rather be lucky than anything. Ha! Next way is to be lucky, to simply be lucky. And the third, commerce, business, jobs, opportunities, whatever that looks like for you. That's it, man. It's that simple.